Thanks so much for joining us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're turning our attention to wood turtles. Tell you what, they are fascinating and kind of good-looking characters, if you ask me. And there used to be a whole lot of them around our state, and now they're not as many. And in fact, they are a threatened species. And Andrew Abadji joins us now to talk about wood turtles. He's a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR's Natural Heritage Conservation Bureau. And as we talk with Andrew, I hope you'll join in. What do you want to know about how the turtles are doing? Tell us about the turtle population near where you live. What have you learned about them? Give a call. The number 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Andrew, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Larry. And the one thing I love talking about more than anything else is talking about turtles. So it should be a good time.
Yeah. We were just talking about reptiles and amphibians on the show the other day, and wood turtles came up. I know there's a new DNR rule relating to them, and we can get to that down the road. But let's talk about Wisconsin turtles in general, just to begin with. What do we know about the species of turtles that call Wisconsin home?
Well, we have 11 species of native turtles in Wisconsin, and one terrestrial species, fully terrestrial, called the ornate box turtle, and that's our only state endangered species. And then the next in line would be the wood turtle, which is kind of a semi-terrestrial. So it spends a lot of time in riverine environments, but they during the growing season, they'll spend time in the uplands foraging, nesting, and just kind of warming up and cooling down. And that's again, our only other state threatened species. And then we have various other species of turtle, three map turtle species, two soft shell turtle species, painted turtle, Blanding's turtle, snapping turtle, and then even a musk turtle, which is kind of likes to hang in and around kind of mucky backwaters in lakes in central Wisconsin. So we have quite a few species, and they're all kind of diverse and have their own quirky things about them. So
yeah, and wood turtles are kind of quirky in a way because they're a little tricky to find.
They're one of the species that there's not a very long window to go find them, and so biologists like myself, we typically will look for them kind of early spring before the leaves start budding out, and then also during the nesting season when all sorts of turtles kind of end of May into June, where turtles are up in the uplands nesting kind of in sandy, gravelly areas and in people's lawns. So, but wood turtles are a lot more difficult to find compared to some of these other turtle species, and so that's part of the challenge with them, with conserving them.
And they kind of blend in. I mean, describe what they look like.
Yeah, so they're fully grown. They're about 8 to 9 inches. Their shell, at least, is about 8 to 9 inches in length and about 4 to 5 inches wide. And the reason why they're called wood turtles, there's two different reasons. But one, they're typically considered a forest species. But at the same time, their shells, they grow rings on them as they age, and they almost kind of look like tree growth rings. And so that's for the most part why we call wood turtles that name.
And they prefer that kind of woodland area. And their diet? What's their diet?
Their diet, they're pretty much opportunistic generalists. And so they'll eat anything from forbs. We've even seen pine needles in some of their diets. But in early spring, they'll eat slugs, worms, insects. I've even seen them scavenging off of dead fish and other things. Just kind of as they come across these things, they'll eat a wide variety of food items.
And their range, where are they found in Wisconsin?
They are found predominantly in the Northwoods, so the northern third of Wisconsin. However, we do have some scattered populations in central Wisconsin and then also in the western third of the state as well. So they pretty much kind of like follow the Northwoods area across the upper Midwest as well, too.
Yeah, and in these, even though they're, we have a pretty good, well, even though they're in a sort of a precarious state in one way, our condition, we have more than many, many other states. And I was reading somewhere, and that's one of the reasons why we want to make sure that we can keep them.
Yes. So especially in the four Midwest states that have the species in their range, Iowa, Minnesota, and Michigan are the other three. We have probably, at least under some more recent modeling efforts for suitable habitat, as well as known populations, we have over 50% of the population, at least documented population, and suitable habitat for the species in Wisconsin. And so as wildlife managers, we kind of have to prioritize the species to some extent because we technically are that core range in the upper Midwest for the species.
And how smart are they? Clara Neipert, our producer, wondered about that. She was reading online that wood turtles are considered to be the smartest reptile.
They are considered pretty smart. And so, for example, there's an older study that actually has used wood turtles similar to like rats in a maze to kind of see if the wood turtle can work its way through the maze through memory. And they have succeeded in stuff like that. And so that just kind of goes to show that they are a fairly intelligent species of cold-blooded animals.
Yeah, you got that right. Your team received a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. How are you using the grant money in relation to this?
Yeah, so we did it was kind of a three-pronged project, and some of our partners were United States Forest Service as well as West Virginia University. And in addition to Wisconsin DNR, and then we also kind of looped in some of the other adjacent states, DNR and research facilities for some of these other projects, too. But the three things that we were looking at, especially for Wisconsin, we wanted to get a better idea of what our baseline populations look like throughout the state. And so we did a bunch of surveys at 50 different 1 kilometer river sections across the entire state to kind of look at demographics, like percentages of males to females, percentages of younger turtles in the population, as well as what does the adult population look like. And so for that part of the study, we actually, we surveyed 50 different populations, and so we were getting population estimates, which then we can kind of look at and resurvey those areas into the future and see what's actually happening to the populations and the demographics into the future. And so that's really critical just to get that first step of this is what we have now, and then hopefully in 10 years we can kind of figure out where we're at into the future. And also we can go look at what kind of conservation methods we're using at some of those sites and what's working and what's not. So that's a really good first step. And then the second step to that study, we actually took that population abundance data, and then we also took a bunch of different habitat variables, both aquatic and then kind of in the uplands, tree canopies, soil substrates, and other things. And we kind of modeled that to see where are our most abundant populations, like what kind of characteristics are they using? And that is something that we want to use with land managers and federal agencies and stuff to kind of look at how can we reproduce better habitat than what we currently have so we can have better wood turtle populations into the future. And so one of the bigger things that we saw in that part of the study was wood turtles, they like kind of these little open canopy gaps, but they like the areas that have a mosaic of canopy types. So sometimes they like the open canopies, some of the shrubby mosaic canopies, as well as they also kind of like that big forest, mature forest too. And so they kind of like all of that. And so we consider that indicative of at least what conservation managers call an edge species. So they like to go in and out of all those different habitat types. And so those are things that we want to try and stress into the future for wood turtle habitat conservation and management.
You know, I'm you talk about that first step, males to females, young versus, you know, different life stages. When you did that research, did you find anything that surprised you? I mean, were the populations kind of, in terms of age and everything else, about what you thought they would be?
Yeah, it really was. And so, for example, I'm going to call it a mixed bag. So we have some populations that really did well. And so one of the things that are doing well, and typically those are the habitats that are less impacted by human infrastructure and other things. And so basically like bigger blocks of unimpacted habitat tend to yield better wood turtle populations. But really what we look at when we assess some of those data is we want to see younger turtles being at least 30% or more of the population. That usually suggests that the adults in the population are successfully getting baby turtles into the environment, and therefore that they're also eventually getting to be that adult stage, so they can keep reproducing and keep that population either growing or staying stable. And so we've seen that across a handful of the sites. And then we also have sites, and they tend to be kind of the further south you go, the more climate change tends to have a little bit more of an effect. Same with mesopredators like raccoon predation and a bunch of other things too. And so, and there's just more impacts the further south you go in Wisconsin. And so, it's kind of a little bit of everything. You see stuff that you don't really see many young turtles in the populations, but you still see quite a few adult turtles and everything in between. And so, so that kind of tells us that things are still doing okay, but we have work to do and things to try and work towards making the species do better across the range versus just the Northwoods.
Yeah, and you mentioned raccoons, and I thought, well, there's probably a major, if there's a predators that are a problem, raccoons might be right up there, is what I was thinking when you mentioned them.
Yeah, and wood turtles are a species of turtle too, where they're not considered a box turtle. So box turtles can actually have a hinge on their shell, so they can kind of enclose themselves entirely. And so to some extent, if like a raccoon comes up to an ornate box turtle that can do that, they're basically trying to, you know, eat this impenetrable shell, whereas wood turtles, they don't have that hinge. And so occasionally raccoons can go in and eat legs and even potentially pull out the tail or the head or something like that and kill those turtles outright, even in the adult stage. And so they do kind of have to be a little more cryptic and more well hidden to kind of bypass a lot of these predation issues.
Our guest today, Andrew Badgey, is a conservation biologist with the DNR's Natural Heritage Conservation Bureau. We're talking about turtles. We zeroed in a bit on box turtles, but we're talking about the turtles that inhabit our state. And you can join in with your own questions, or maybe you've got an experience to share. The number 800-642-1234. You could email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Tomorrow on the show, Jim Ward is back to help you keep your vehicle in tip-top shape, and then we'll hear how the Department of Transportation is making it easier to drive an electric vehicle in our state. That's tomorrow. Just a quick update. We may have had a misspeak on the morel mushrooms. How to tell a false morel from the real morel mushroom. And morels do indeed are the ones that have hollow stems. I think it was said the other way around. So if you find a mushroom, you think it's a morel, looks like a morel, if you cut the stem and it's hollow, it is not a false morel. It is the real morel. and you should go that way. So hollow reel, think of it that way. It's easy to get those mixed up. I'm sure about that. Michael emailed us. He's making progress as we talk about turtles. He's making progress on turtle identification in the field, but is troubled by the two soft shells. Any tips on separating spiny and smooth soft shells in the field?
Yeah, so it really, first of all, smooth soft shells tend to be the more rare type of soft shell turtle in the state, and they're really only found along the Mississippi River and the lower Wisconsin River in Wisconsin. And so if you see anything outside of that area in general, outside of maybe some of the tributaries, the lower sections like the Black River, Chippewa River, St. Croix River, there's probably a good chance that it's going to be a spiny softshell turtle. But outside of that, smooth softshell turtles tend to have more of a peach or a tan eye stripe that kind of goes from the eye down through the back of the head, whereas spiny softshells, that tends to be more of a green on occasion with some black lines. And then also based off of the name spiny softshell, if you look kind of on the top of the shell, the carapace, right where kind of like the neck and the head of the turtle would be, spiny softshells tend to have little bumps or even look more like spines on the back of that. And so those are two good ways to get a better idea of what species you're looking at. But generally, if you're kind of further north and further east in the state, it's most likely a spiny softshell.
Yeah. Susan emailed us, and I might have said we were focusing on box turtles, and I should have said wood turtles. There's another mistake I made. Susan reminded me of it when she wrote that she lives north of Shawnee next to the Wolf River, surrounded by swamps and forest, and they have wood turtles there. They are beautiful, and she wonders, how can she help the babies that are on the road sometimes?
Yeah, so one of our initiatives through our Citizen Science Project, the Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Program, is we're just trying to get more materials out there for people to protect turtle nests on their property, and or even kind of along roadways. And so specifically in this case, if it is a roadway, there's a pretty little chance of the nest even becoming viable at that point because of raccoons or other predators kind of running along those areas. But what I could tell her is, you know, if she can kind of move the nest to a safe place that has a lot of sunshine and also kind of an open canopy and really good drainage, kind of in more sandy, gravelly substrate, kind of just move the eggs, kind of dig them out, almost like you would pretend like you're an archaeologist digging up dinosaur bones. And then one of the things that we want people to know is if you're going to lift up the eggs, make sure you're not rotating them. And so sometimes you can take a pencil and put an X or mark the top of the egg so you know which way was up in the nest. But anyway, so then you just try and reduplicate the nest and the depth and stuff like that nearby. We don't want people moving the nests like really further than a half mile. But we do want to try and increase some of these egg success and hatch rates. And so once you do move it, then we do suggest putting some type of protective cage over the top of it. And we do have some diagrams online that you can kind of look at. But really one of the ones that I like is it's kind of a set it and forget it, where it has about 1 inch by 2 inches mesh. So the turtles can hatch whenever they want to and they can leave whenever they want to, so they're not stuck in there and need monitoring constantly.
Interesting. You know, my daughter was involved in a project in Grenada relating to leatherback turtles, which, of course, are humongous turtles. And one came up on the beach, and the researcher asked my daughter to count the eggs as they came out and then check them for viability. And she said there was something like 140 or some eggs, and all but 20 were viable. But I'm wondering how many eggs would a wood turtle lay?
Wood turtles tend to lay anywhere between, I've seen 5 on the lower ends, but upwards of 15, 16, 17 sometimes even upwards of 20, if you're lucky too. So, and generally speaking, the older the female, female wood turtles, and to some extent this goes with other turtles, but the more older they are, the better at laying fertile eggs, and they're just more likely to get more baby turtles into the environment just based off of experience and stuff like that too. So we do want to prioritize, adult turtles and especially older females in the population.
Yeah, for sure. Megan in Medford, your turn. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind today?
Well, what's on my mind is that I wanted to raise a little bit of awareness about a group called Team Turtle that is starting up in Medford area by the Yellow River where the Bend deposit is, where they're doing the drilling, mm-hmm. because we have some sensitive turtle areas up there. And if anybody wants to get involved with Friends of the Yellow River or Team Turtle run by Scott Stahlheim, you can find us on Facebook, because we are very all about protecting the wood turtles up here in Taylor County.
Megan, great. Andrew, are you familiar with this group?
Yes, actually, I just first heard about it about a month ago, and I've actually emailed and even spoke with Scott about just different ways that they can help and just be more effective with their volunteer efforts and stuff too. So, yes, this is definitely a group that seems to be on the right track and looks like they're going to be doing some good things for wood turtle conservation with some nest site protection, and especially even this spring.
That's pretty cool, Megan. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Shelley emailed us. She's lucky to have wood turtle nesting area in their backyard in Wisconsin Rapids. They live along a creek and watch the female lay eggs. Shelley put a secure cage over the site to protect from predators. Never saw the hatchlings, but in the late fall, she checked the nest and only found empty eggshells left. So she has registered it with the DNR and sends them pictures each year. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the fact that all she found were empty eggshells, especially with the cage over the top of it, is a good sign that the nest did hatch. And again, the turtles just kind of left on their own. And so one thing about turtle eggs, some of our species like map turtles, as well as snapping turtles and painted turtles, can actually overwinter in the nest. So they'll actually hatch in late fall, and then they won't leave the nest. They'll actually kind of undergo some level of freezing. They have some type of cryoprotectant in their cells that protects them. And then once we get into the month of about May, that's when they dig themselves up and leave. However, wood turtles don't actually do that. There's only been one case out in West Virginia that happened. But generally speaking, wood turtles tend to hatch usually around September every year and leave the nest then.
Ellie in Middleton emailed to let us know about the DNR's series of reptile amphibian field guides, including turtles and lizards of Wisconsin. Ellie says they're a great resource.
Yes, absolutely. They're a great starter resource, and just to kind of get everyone some basic information about, again, just the diversity of all the turtles we have here in Wisconsin.
Where do we go if we want to report turtle sightings to the DNR?
You can do it one of two ways. So if you go onto the DNR's website and type in rare species report, you can, especially if you have like a wood turtle or a Blandings turtle or even an ornate box turtle, three of our more protected species, you can submit a report on there, including photos and other things. However, we also do have a citizen science project called the Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Program, and that's where we get anywhere from 600 to 1,200 reports every year of turtles in general, and so we can kind of sift through the data and find some of the rare species that we didn't know existed in certain parts of the state, certain lakes, river systems, as well as one of the other reasons we have that program is to document the road crossing hotspots across the state, mm-hmm. which we then work with property managers and then also road agencies like the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to make our roads safer for these turtles.
Andrew, this has been a pleasure. I hope you'll come back and be with us again. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Andrew Badgey is a conservation biologist with the DNR's Natural Heritage Conservation Bureau. Great to have him with us, and great to have you listening in, and great to have a good group of people. Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins. Executive producer Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.